What I'm about to share with you today, I'm not sharing with you because I want you in any way to feel sorry for me. So you don't have to feel sorry for me. While a tiny bit of sympathy or empathy would be okay, you really don't need to just feel sorry for me whatsoever. It's going to be quite a while before I'll ever forget March 11th, 2018. It started off a fairly normal Sunday morning for me. I got up, I reviewed my sermon, I got ready. And when I left the house about 5:45 in the morning, to head to church, all was quiet on the home front. And it seemed like a fairly normal day for me at ACC here. Services went according to plan. The only abnormality that day was that I never saw Diane the entire morning, my wife, and she's always here, and we connect at least once or twice. And so I began to wonder what might cause her to miss worship. And I just decided I was going to keep from speculating until I knew what really happened. Well, my first indication of what had kept Diane from being in worship that morning was when I arrived home and there were like three or four shop vacs on our front porch. And then I walked in the house and I could tell that things were not well on the home front. I quickly learned from Diane that sometime between 5:45 a.m. when I left and 7:30 when she got up, the valve on the second floor bathroom toilet failed, and hundreds, if probably not thousands of gallons of water flooded that bathroom, and then that went down through our kitchen on the main floor and eventually ended up in the basement. And even though Diane had turned off the water hours earlier, I mean, as soon as she found it, when I arrived home about 1 p.m., water was still pouring out of the drywall in the kitchen ceiling. It was everywhere. And the mess, of course, took hours and hours to clean up. And for the next week, there were blowers and dehumidifiers. And we had to keep our thermostat at 80, trying to get rid of any remaining moisture in our walls and carpets. We ended up spending several nights in a hotel. And for the next couple of months, our life just felt interrupted and very much out of sorts. And I'll be candid, for a while, it kind of did a little bit of a number on me mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. I'm not going to deny I was a little bit disheartened. I was thinking to myself, God, why would you allow this to happen, especially now? It was just weeks before our Easter services. That's a big deal around here. Now, again, when I share that, I'm not sharing that with you. Don't feel sorry for me at all. I am wondering today, though, if any of you might be dealing with the same condition that I sometimes, maybe even often, struggle with. You know, they say that misery loves company. And so here's what I struggle with. A memory that is often much shorter than I would like it to be. Anybody struggle with that? A memory that is much shorter than you would like it to be. So much so that the older I get, the more often I find myself thinking about the hereafter. I mean, all too often I walk in a room and I think, now what am I here after? Because I get in there and I can't remember what I was going in there for. Memory really can be a fleeting thing, which is why we have to learn how to abate its demise as much as possible in our lives. And it's not that we intentionally forget most of the time. I mean, take any of the husbands that are here today. And let me ask, guys, have you ever intentionally forgotten your anniversary or your wife's birthday? Anybody here intentionally forgotten that? If you are sitting by your wife, do not raise your hand. That probably wouldn't be a good thing to admit. But see, ladies, I just want to remind you, we really don't do that intentionally. What can happen really for all of us is that life gets busy or it gets complicated, and we become focused sometimes on what is directly in front of us, and then we can kind of forget some of the very meaningful and important details of our life. And while a poor memory may lead to some disaster in the routine of everyday living, let me just say I've come to understand that it can also be very dangerous spiritually. A good memory is important to your spiritual vitality. And while a poor memory can lead to a faith that is weak and even anemic, a good memory can help strengthen and build your faith. And we know that because that's what happened to the people of God time and time again. When they had good memory, they had strong faith. When they had a poor memory, they didn't have such good faith. And we see some examples of that. For example, when the Israelites were in Egypt and they cried out to God, get us out of here. And they witnessed the power of God with 10 amazing plagues that came on the land of Egypt. And they saw God's incredible power. But as soon as they got out of Egypt and they got to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming, they were like, what are we going to do? We're left here all alone. Well, then they saw God part the Red Sea, and they went through on dry ground, and then they got to the Mount Sinai. They got the Ten Commandments. They had God's provision. But then remember what happened? What happened when they got to the Promised Land? They said, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. They forgot so easily, and apparently their memories did not serve them well, which is unfortunate. Because what you remember from yesterday will significantly influence not only how you live today, but whether or not you actually may even look forward to tomorrow. And that's because every new encounter with the challenges and the difficulties of life is probably going to bring on a new challenge to your faith. And you have to say, do I have the faith that I need today? And see, it's clear that memories from the past help shape your thoughts about the present and the future. The things you choose to believe about the past are going to shape your thoughts about the present and the future. And that might just be why the word remember actually appears 160 times in the Bible. And most of the time it's used in the context of God encouraging us to remember what he's already done. See, apparently God knows something about us, and he knows that we need to make sure that we remember to not forget. In the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book in the Old Testament, the Israelite community, after those couple of fails of memory, are about ready to enter the Promised Land. And God wants to remind them one more time about the importance of remembering. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you didn't bring a Bible, it's this. The verses are going to be up on the screen. We're going to look at verses 10 through 18 as we're reading through. Again, listen to the circumstances, the things that are surrounding it, and then listen for the admonition to remember. It says, when you have eaten, and now he's talking about when they're in the Promised Land, you're satisfied. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and you settle down, when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble you and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, oh, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Did you notice how God kept reminding them how important remembering was to their faith and to their future? And that's exactly why you and I need to make sure that we remember to not forget. And there's actually a couple instances where God specifically instructed his people to be intentional about remembering. It was the Passover in the Old Testament. And then just a few minutes ago, we spent some time around the Lord's table remembering communion. Because if there's ever a time, if you would doubt God's love for you, you just need to go to the cross and say, does God love me? Yes, he loved me. He proved once and for all that he loved me on the cross. Well, one of the best ways about being intentional, remembering how God has worked in your life, is reviewing and recalling what could be called God moments. Now, what's a God moment? Well, a God moment is one of those unique times, and we've all had them, where God tends to personally interact with you in a way that clearly demonstrates his presence and his participation in your life. And My guess is all of us here have had them. It's just that many of us haven't taken the time or really given much thought to clearly identifying them. And so a lot of them have probably just slipped from our memory. We've forgotten about those incredible moments. It's probably why the psalmist said in Psalm 103, says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, God knows that our faith is strengthened by the memory of moments of divine intervention. I mean, when God does something in your life, that's what strengthens your faith. And a great example of that, one of the most famous stories in all the Bible, is a story about a young little man named David who took on a giant of a man, a Philistine warrior named who? Bet you've heard his name, Goliath, David and Goliath. And how did that story turn out? Did it turn out very well for Goliath? No, and that was the one everybody was betting on was going to win. Actually, David defeated Goliath against all odds. But did you know that that seemingly impossible encounter, I think at least partly became possible only because David happened to do some intentional remembering? You see, before he went into battle against that giant, he reminded himself of how God had taken care of him in the past. I mean, he even retold his story of God moments to King Saul about when David, or when God had delivered him from both a lion and a bear when he was shepherding his father's flocks. And that memory of that God moment helped strengthen his faith enough so to create yet another amazing God moment in his life. You see, it's much more difficult to trust God today if you can't remember anything he's done for you yesterday. Or the day before, or the day before. If you happen to be going through some difficulties in your life, and someone says to you, "Hey, well, just have more faith," or "Don't worry, God's in control." I mean, you might appreciate their attempt at encouragement, but it probably wouldn't help you much, because if you want more faith, just telling you to have more faith is not going to create in you any more faith. I mean, when you're facing giants, you need more than really kind of simplistic exhortations just to have more faith. You need some real life, rock solid reminders that God is able, that he hasn't abandoned you, and that you are not alone. And that's exactly why God says so much about remembering in our lives, because he knows the power of remembering. Which is why today I just want to remind you of a simple little tool that can help you identify and remember your God moments, the moments that we've all had. And so God moments are those times, well, I would say, when God reaches down to personally touch your life, and they include the following five touches. And we're simply going to use an acrostic of the word touch to remember how God intervenes in our lives in some amazing, amazing ways that we need to make sure we remember. And letter T stands for truth revealed. Now we're going to start here because this can sometimes seem the least obvious. Truth revealed. And truth revealed is a God moment. It's a moment when God clearly communicates with you through the Bible, through a God-inspired message, the wise counsel of a trusted friend, or even a still small inner voice. See, when you become a Christ follower, God provides you with the supernatural ability through the Holy Spirit to understand and comprehend things that you've never been able to understand before. That's why in John 16, Jesus said, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to be able to guide you into all truth." You're going to know things you didn't know before. And these are things that you really don't have the ability to perceive without the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul literally explains it this way in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned through the Holy Spirit." Have you ever talked with any of your non-believing friends and you're trying to get them to understand something? They're like, "I just don't get it." It's because the Holy Spirit helps. And so these are those aha moments in life when all of a sudden something becomes clear that wasn't clear before. And so an example to look for would be maybe when a verse or a passage of Scripture or a sermon literally seems to speak directly to you. I wish I had a nickel or a dime, maybe even a dollar, for every time on a Sunday morning after the service was over, people will come up to me and they'll say, "Brian, did you have a camera inside of our house this week videotaping what was going on and what we were dealing with?" And I'm like, "No, we're not really allowed to do that." Might be interesting, but we're not allowed to do that. I just said, you know what? That was God connecting a spiritual truth with you in a very specific way. And I'll just share with you, it was a little while back, I was reading Hebrews chapter 12. I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 is a great chapter. And in verse 1, I read this verse, and all of a sudden, its reality for me jumped out like I hadn't seen it before. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it was that last verse, I'd never read it like that before. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And it's almost like God said, you know what, Brian, I've noticed that you've kind of been comparing your race to a lot of other people's races. And, you know, there's things you see about other people's races that you like and wish were a part of your race. He says, I want you to recognize your race is not going to look like anybody else's. And you need to be content with and understand that sometimes you're gonna run with perseverance the race marked out for you. And it was what I needed at that moment. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I don't seem to be having too many of those moments. Well, a couple of things. You have to put yourself in a place where you can actually hear. So are you spending any time in God's word, reading from it, listening from it, asking God, are you a part of a life group? Because a life group is one of the most powerful examples of where God works in a person's life. You need to be a part of that. I just want to say, anytime you gain spiritual understanding, don't take that for granted and just say, oh, that was nice. Glad to know that. Instead, recognize it as a God moment. A moment of truth revealed is a reminder that God knows what's going on in your life, and he's trying to say things directly to you. Now, you notice at the bottom of each one of these, I included a little line in case something comes to your mind like, oh, yeah, I just had that happen, but I never thought of that before. You can write that in on that line. So letter T stands for truth revealed. Letter O stands for an obvious intervention. An obvious intervention. And these are God moments when God protects you, rescues you, or makes a way out for you. These are one of those moments when you're able to breathe kind of like a sigh of relief because you know you've just been covered by God, or you were able to escape something that really, you know, could have been disastrous. That's why in 2 Peter 2:9 it says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. And I bet he's gotten you out of a few tight spots. And so a couple of things to look for. Recall any near accidents or major mishaps or life-threatening circumstances from which you've escaped. And we could all probably think of some. Or number two, acknowledge any other moment that could have brought disaster but didn't. Let me go back to the story of our water disaster. I was disheartened. I was kind of frustrated. But you know, shortly after that, Diane and I sat down and we started to say, you know what, there was some obvious intervention. Because that Friday, we had gone skiing that day, and if it had popped at the same time on Friday morning, by the time we got back on Friday night, it had really been a mess. So we were home. That was one of the ways that God covered us there. And then that morning, Diane, through some, again, just some interesting providence, connected with some people who came over to the house, helped her clean up, and then later, the insurance actually repaid her for the time that she spent cleaning up her own house, and that went into some of the recovery that we had. A lot of things happened. And eventually, I'll just wind it up with, we ended up with a beautiful new kitchen that we're really still thankful for today. And again, how it turned out, getting there was a struggle, but it was an obvious intervention. Make a note if there's something there for you. Letter U stands for an unexpected blessing. And an unexpected blessing is one of those moments when God gives you an unexpected gift. Or maybe he quickly or clearly answers a prayer. You know, one of the reasons why I practice and I teach tithing is because I've seen so many unmistakable blessings from God in this area, in my own life and in many others, as a result of trusting him in this area. But have you ever had one of those times when out of the blue, you received something that was completely a surprise blessing? And I would just say, instead of just kind of writing off that experience as an interesting coincidence, it might be helpful if you'd start to give credit where credit is due. And that's why in James chapter 1:17, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. And it doesn't have to be a major miracle. It can even just be a simple blessing. I mean, I've told you a little bit about my driving problem, and I like to get everybody where faster than, and, you know, I'd like to go. And people that block my ways and stoplights that block my way. I've just gotten so, every time I pull up to a traffic light and it turns green, I say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just, it's a little blessing, a little unexpected blessing. I don't have to stop and wait at the light for a long, long time. I just get to drive right through. It can be something as simple as that. And so think of resources that come in timely or unexpected ways. And I'll just say that this past May, I had some major dental work in my mouth. And I have to be careful when I say that, because at the early service, I said I had some major mental work. And they all went, yeah, we get that, Brian. We understand that. It was some major dental work. And honestly, out of the blue, totally unexpected, some insurance money arrived at the exact time we needed it. And we just paused and said, wow, thank you, God. Or maybe responses to your prayers that point directly to God. And again, make a note of any examples that just come to your mind. I'd encourage you even later to think some more. Then letter C. Letter C stands for constructive adversity. Constructive adversity. And that's a moment in which God sustains you in a difficult time and makes you stronger through the test of adversity. Now, there are moments when God is going to step in and he's going to intervene and rescue you or protect you from a difficulty. But you got to know there are also going to be times when God allows you to go through adversity. That's just part of life. And when that happens, you may wonder, what is up with that? Well, the book of James actually shares some insight into that. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes God's wanting to grow you. And so what I'd encourage you, review your past for moments of adversity. That when now you look back on, it proved to actually be a very time of important growth and learning for you that may have prepared you for a future role or responsibility. Now you say, wow, I'm actually thankful for that experience because of how it prepared me for what I'm facing in life right now. Probably one of the best examples in the Bible of that would be Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember, he went through some real adversity. I mean, his brothers sold him as a slave into Egypt. He finally got a decent job, you know, taking care of Potiphar's household. But then Potiphar's wife accused him of sexual, sexual. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know why I can't think of that word. I don't want to think of that word, but anyway, sexual impropriety, and he gets thrown in prison, and he's in prison for 13 years. And all that time, he's got to be thinking, Lord, why am I here? Well, it was all of that preparing him for a time when eventually he was going to be second in Egypt only to Pharaoh. And later on, when he was looking back with his brothers, he just makes a statement because he made the connection finally. He said, you know what? You intended this for evil, but God intended this for good. He had a plan all along that he was preparing me for. And let me just say, some of the greatest challenges in my life have also been some of the most profitable to me in terms of personal and spiritual growth and development. And it's a reminder of what the Bible says in Romans 8:28, where it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good, even in difficulties, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And it just makes me think a statement I came across a while back, said maybe sometimes we should stop asking God to get us out of difficult circumstances and start asking him what he wants us to get out of those difficult circumstances. Maybe an example comes to mind. One last letter here, the letter H, stands for holy attraction. And this is a God moment. It's a moment when God inspires you maybe to take the high road, or enables you to resist temptation, or leads you on a healthier path. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would be willing to admit that if left to yourself, you might just have a propensity to sin every now and then, just left to yourself? Folks, you know what? Temptation is all around us, and it will always be around us. We're not weak because we're tempted. Our weakness is exploited when we give in to temptation. And so you know what? God knows this, and he's actually equipped us with an internal compass called a conscience, and then he's supported and empowered that with a spiritual motivator called the Holy Spirit. And so you need to know that anytime you are drawn to the right thing, you sense that's probably where I need to go, or you have second thoughts about doing the wrong thing, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. That's the work of God in your life through the Holy Spirit. In John 16:8, it says, and when he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, I feel this morning like I need to be a little more transparent with you than I would actually like to be. An example from my life on this real recently that is a little real and a little raw for me. You know, in the Bible, it says the main areas of temptation for us are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that last one hooked me pretty strongly this last week. I was having a conversation with a couple of our staff about just the events of August. And we do a stewardship series in August, which I've always mentioned. A lot of times I feel like I'm preaching, you know, to the choir when we talk about giving, because you guys are so faithful and so generous in the way that you give. But we talk about it every year. And let me just say, in August, your giving was through the roof. Guess who wanted to take a little bit of credit for that? With the amazing messages that I preached every Sunday. And so I had this little conversation saying, wow, you know, I don't know, but the offering share was up in August. And about that time, God kind of tapped me on the shoulder. And he just reminded me, he said, you know what, Brian, you might deliver a message, but you're not the one that makes it stick in people's hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work and kind of helped get me back on track maybe a little bit. And I think of that as a God moment. God's at work in my life. And so recall those times when you may have been motivated or moved to respond to situations with the love and the grace of God. And at the same time, you were tempted to ignore them. Or number two, remember moments in your life when you felt drawn to what is right, when there was clearly an option to do wrong. And we need to remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, God's faithful, and he'll not let you be tempted beyond what you will bear. He will let you be tempted. But with that temptation, he'll also provide a way out. And when you take it, that's God working in you and you letting God work in you. And maybe there's an example that would come to mind even recently, like for me, that you would think of. See, intentionally remembering God moments will help you grow stronger in your faith, because every God moment acquires a shelf life if it's no longer remembered. I mean, if you're not remembering what God has done, it's like it really probably never happened. And one of the best examples of that in the Bible is in the book of Mark. In chapter 6, Jesus feeds a crowd of at least 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples came and said, how are we going to feed all these people? And Jesus said, no problem. He starts breaking it up, and he feeds all of these people. Now, I don't know, if I were you, I'd probably bank that one. I'm like, that's cool. That was amazing. 2 chapters later, almost the same scenario, this time less people. Instead of 5,000, only 4,000. And the same thing happens again, and the disciples come to Jesus and says, Jesus, what are we going to do? All we got is these measly little things. They forgot. And they missed out on an incredible opportunity. And that's what can happen to us. See, remembering God moments provides evidence that your heart and your mind so desperately needs. See, faith is not something that's simply snatched from thin air. To walk by faith does not mean that I try to pull myself up by the bootstrap and just keep telling myself, oh, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay. Instead, remembering God moments helps you to build your faith on the actual historical activity of God in your life so that you can be ready for the next moment when your faith is going to be needed. And let me tell you, that moment will come. Problem is, sometimes we're not ready because we don't remember very well. Let me close with 2 verses, actually 3 verses and a statement, and we'll wrap things up. In Judges chapter 2, it's again in the promised land. Joshua said, dismiss the Israelites, and they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. So there was their evidence. A couple of verses later, in verse 10, we read this. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Sadly, their parents had never passed on to their kids their faith. And then it says, then the Israelites did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord and served Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. Now, do you know why that is recorded for us in the Bible? So that we could learn something from it. Because in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And how do you do that? I just keep remembering how God has worked in my life, because that moment's going to show up. Might be this week, might be next month, might be this next year, and you're going to need to have your faith based on something besides just I hope or I wish. And let me close with one final statement. What I believe is that those who are most likely to doubt God are those who can't recognize the work of God around them or remember the work of God for them and in them. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the work you have done in my life and in the lives of so many people that sit here in this room this morning. Father, you've been more than faithful. You've blessed beyond belief. And sometimes we've just walked away from that and not taken a moment just to remember who you are and what you've done. I pray that you'd help us to develop the faith we need based on your faithfulness to us over and over again, so that when the next moment comes, when our faith is tested, it'll be firm and strong and steadfast in you and in your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.